Let's get this party started.
Welcome to the I Squint Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this, the I Squint Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Lang. Well, I've had a little bit of break, more like a 6 month break here recording a podcast, only because the spring, summer, and going into the fall was all kinds of crazy busy. But we're back, we're here, we're going strong. We're celebrating 2 years this year at LDI, being online and providing some great information for you guys. Well, what I like to do normally before big trade shows, especially LDI, is having a pre-show podcast, let you know a little bit about what's going on right before the show, what to expect, and what to see. This week, or this episode, I had Mr. Michael Eddy. You might know him from Twitter, also around the industry. He's been around for a while. He joined me on the podcast, and we talked a little bit about what to expect, what to look for, and some tips and tricks. So, rather than rambling on and on and on and on, let's just get right back into it, all right? All right, I'd like to welcome Mr. Michael Eddy with me here on the I Squint Podcast. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, we're doing the pre-show podcast for LDI 2010 in Las Vegas, Nevada. You've been around the industry for 30-plus years, correct?
Yep. Some of that was working in the theater, so but working on the manufacturer dealer side since 1984.
So you've got a pretty good handle on what's going around in the industry.
Yep, pretty much.
So tell me a little bit about LDI. I know that you've been involved with LDI for years, right?
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, the 23rd year. I worked on the team for the first one in 1988 with Pat MacKay when she owned the magazine and started the show. And Ellen Lampert-Grea was there. I think we're the last few people around the beginning part. But yeah, we did the first one in Dallas, and it was much smaller than it is now. And there was a noisy side and a quiet side, so you had to go over to the side with all the speakers and fog, and you'd lose your voice from getting dried out. But we registered everybody and did all the sessions, ran around and interviewed all the manufacturers about what was new. And then we went home, and we're like, wow, we're so tired, and we're like, oh, we got to start planning for next year. And I've been to almost every one. I've missed, I think, Miami, but I've been at Reno with the snows, and it's nothing better than when you show up at the rental car counter and they say, you need change for your rental car. I'm like, what? But no, LDI is a pretty cool show. It's grown quite a lot. It's, you know, it and Plaza are the two big shows for introducing new products. So you've got one international in England, and then you've got this one in America, and it draws a great crowd from around the world. I've been a manufacturer there. I've been a dealer there. I've been an attendee. I've worked the show as technical editor for Lighting Dimensions, Theater Crafts, Live Design. I've seen all facets of the show.
So you've seen every side. You know, how has it changed from back in 1989?
Yeah, 88 was the first one.
88. Yeah. So how many attendees were there in 1988?
I forget the attendee count. It wasn't huge, but it was probably bigger than USATT. I mean, it was
probably 1,000, 2,000,
maybe 2,000, 3,000. Maybe it was, it got off and it got a good rolling start, and it built up quickly because a lot of manufacturers came on board pretty quickly. A lot were not too happy that some were very happy that it was another trade show, because the thing with USITT was it was students, and a lot of manufacturers didn't like that because they weren't buyers in their eyes, which I disagree with. But at LDI, they were seeing more professionals and people with checkbooks and buyers. Exactly. So there was more instant gratification in that regard.
Sure.
But it's gone up, and I think, it pretty much averages out around 10 to 14,000 probably come to the show now.
Wow.
And 400 manufacturers. So it's, and in the beginning it was just the 3 days, and although one time they tried 4 days, that was a mistake. But they, the classes and the pre-training sessions have grown quite a lot. The Institute has grown on the front end of it to really, I think with ETCP and then the trainings for riggers and electricians has really expanded it. And in the beginning it was pretty much all lighting with some audio. But rigging has come on, audio has come on, so it's really become a well-rounded show. It still has a lot of lighting and now video because of LEDs, You know, some wags call it LEDI, because LEDs are everywhere.
Exactly.
But you know, it's a good balance of things. And I think what's kind of fascinating too is to see how many small manufacturers and new manufacturers show up at the show that, you know, you've got the big guys, but there are still a lot of guys who work out of the garage or have a great idea and they take a little 10 by 10 and you may never know you needed it, but you see it and it was like, it's kind of a head slapper. It's like, wow, you find these kind of cool products that you never would have thought about things. So
that's exactly what the trade show business is about though, right?
Right, right. I mean, a lot of them, it's for the big manufacturers to make their scheduled product launches. So they gear all the product launches to come out in the fall. Mm-hmm. And really, they've worked towards that date and really try and have their R&D schedule aimed at that. But a lot of them, you know, a lot of guys come and either share a booth or they've taken a booth on their own and it's nothing spectacular. I mean, Doug Fleener used to take a 10 by 10 booth and he would do such inventive things with it, with Fleener design. And one year he made a maze with silver Mylar and, you know, you got to it and there were products in the different pockets and then there was candy at the end. So you got a little reward and things, but there's always been pretty inventive, creative people there. There's been some that are boring booths that, you know, but you got to look past the booth and the flash and see, cause there are some gems, you know, buried in there and stuff.
Well, yeah. Cause you've got to think about it. You know, these mom and pops or these startups are coming to the show with little or no money.
Right. And they have little for marketing. It's, they've put it all into the product and it's a lot of love and it's something that it solved a problem for them where they worked or for people they worked with. And I always encourage when I did the judging and when I would talk to designers, I'm like, you know, walk the outer perimeter and go see those booths that you might not have gone to. And you'd be surprised. I mean, Baxter Controls, the little pocket DMX unit. And there's been a lot of ones have kind of come up and really built and grown that started out as kind of a small player in the industry and things. So there are some that have really kind of really embraced that kind of, you know, that. There's a great bootstrap kind of DIY attitude in this industry. And you find those guys there at the show at times. And, you know, people go, oh, well, they didn't do a brochure. I'm like, I don't care. They're at the show. They found an audience and they get great feedback, whether it's positive or negative. You know, there've been some dud products and stuff and you'll know quickly. Mm-hmm. As there's one thing about this industry is there's as many opinions on the floor as there are attendees. So you're going to get feedback, good and bad. And I think that helps a lot of manufacturers because they want to know it. They want to know how you're using the products, what you need. A lot of them bring, you know, the bigger guys bring their software developers. They bring their inside guys that probably would never get out. Mm-hmm. I think it's unlike many other industries. You actually can go up and talk to somebody and say, hey, I have a question about XYZ software. And they say, well, here's the guy who wrote it. Let's talk to him. And I've had people come in, you know, seasoned programmers come in and go, well, this is the way I do it. And they go, how if you tried this? And you'd be surprised. I mean, even people who, you know, that's the board they use all the time, show in, show out, will discover things like that and stuff. So
that's amazing.
It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. So I think when you go to LDI, have a plan, have a list of things you want to see and people want to go to and really kind of make sure you hit those kind of first because it's 2.5 days. It's very short. Then especially the short, the show is a little bit because it's 10 to 5 and 10 to 2 now. Mm-hmm. So you kind of the first day I'd say go see the people you want to see and then take some time and go wander the floor. Some people do it row by row or do a grid. And, you know, because of the way the show's laid out, you just can't sometimes go up and down a row. You got to go side to side and catch some of those guys. There's odd booth shapes in there.
I've found myself having to walk the show floor 20 No, not 20 times, but at least 3 or 4 times to actually see every booth. Now, yeah. Do I get a chance to stop at every booth? Unfortunately, I don't because it's 3 days.
Right, right. It is tough. So
what, 300 manufacturers dedicating at least 10 minutes to each booth?
Right.
That doesn't seem like a lot of time, but it adds up real quick.
It does. It does. And also I say schedule in free time. You know, if you have sessions down, you want to go see, then take some time after that session and leave a little time to like either have, you know, cause the nice thing is when you run into people, you know, or you don't know one, if you don't know them, introduce yourself. That's the one thing at the show is it's a small industry. Mm-hmm. Don't feel afraid. Walk up to them and say, hi, I do this, you know, and talk to people in other industries. I have friends who walk the show floor with people who are in a completely different segment of the industry because they see things in a different perspective. And you may not think about it this way, but they might, and they might inform you and you might inform them. But also, I think the thing is ask questions, because I've talked to a lot of people in the training sessions who say people walk up to the consoles in the booth or in a session and they just look at it. And sometimes, you know, there are consoles that even stump me these days. And I started out as a board operator, and you walk up and you see them, and some people just don't know what to ask. Don't worry, there really aren't dumb questions. I think that ask your question. And if you're waiting because somebody's getting a demo and you're waiting to that demo to end, listen in, because they may ask questions and it might prompt you to think about things you might not have thought about, or also what's their issue. Because it's funny, because some people come in and they have, I want to solve this problem. They don't know about other problems they may not have, especially if you're new to the industry. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of the guys who teach these sessions on the consoles who are, you know, this really seasoned programmers, you know, Bobby Harrell, Brad Schiller, you know, these guys have seen it all. They've done, you know, Broadway, they've done events, they've done rock and roll. The nice thing is they may have things you never thought about, but you'll probably need it at some point in your life and things and stuff. So, you know, ask the questions. A lot of the manufacturers have guys that are working in their booths who actually still use the products and go out and do things and stuff. So, you know, they may be sales guys, but at ETC, when I worked there, everybody had a theatrical background, you know, and same with Roscoe. Is most of these manufacturers are people who came out of the industry in some form or another, and they've been where you've been, you know, so it's good to ask. It's good to see what else is out there and stuff. So
it's always a good point to start off talking about what problems you're trying to solve then.
Right. If you come in with a challenge and say, you know, at my facility, this is always something that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And they may have a solution with the products you already own. They may have a solution of something you might want to think about trading up into, or a software update, or you may have to buy new gear. You know, yes, they're trying to sell new things, but a lot of times they're trying to help you solve your problem. And if they can help you solve with your equipment, you're happier and you're going to go back to that company because, wow, I got an answer out of them and things. Exactly. A lot of people have that attitude. A lot of people are like, you know, if you try, especially ETC is great with this, but a lot of companies that are like, hey, if you do this macro and you do this, this, and this, you'll get this. And there's a lot of tips and tricks like that that are great. And you come up with things that you never thought about, you know, doing an automated lamp check or doing something that, you know, to test your dimmers and get feedback out of it and things. There's simple things now, especially now with iPads and the iPhone. All the different apps and the remotes and things are really kind of clever. I think the iPad is going to really take off, you know, with feedback and with remote control of devices. You're going to have so much more you can do now.
Tell me about it. I can't wait to see what some of these developers come up with. I'm actually going to be part of a session at LDI on Saturday, phoning it in. And we're going to be talking exactly about this. You know, I've heard a lot of people asking about LiteWrite for the iPad. Well, you can technically do it, you know, through VNC, and I've actually got something in the works about that. But, you know, Rob Halliday has a great idea about having a whole feedback system for the entire production.
Right.
Not just lights, not just sound, but, you know, combining everything into one. So not only the lighting designer, but anybody involved in the production can see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And able to do that on the iPhone, iPad is just going to be unbelievable.
Absolutely. I think what's going to happen, I think, is that, you know, iPad is going to, like iPhone, take a big share of the market, but I think it's going to spur a lot of the tablet manufacturers and the other manufacturers, PC side, to really step up their game to compete. And I think it's only going to benefit everybody else. Because, I mean, the one thing about entertainment is we're very trickle down in technology. We take advantage of the technology that happens elsewhere and kind of ride that wave. So I think it's definitely going to be something that's going to benefit everybody. Sound, video, lighting. I think the iPad is really going to change a lot of what we do and how we do things.
It's actually started to do that already, you know, with some of the apps that are out there. The ETC's IRFR, you know, rather than having to buy their radio remote focus unit, you got an iPhone, you got an iPad.
Right.
All you need is the software and an access point. You're done.
Yeah, and I thought it was clever to tie it into the charities. You know, I thought that was really kind of a clever idea. And it's really kind of cool. You know, it's funny about the question, because somebody asked me about why isn't LiteWrite on iPad, and I was talking to John McKernan about it. And the problem is with John McKernan and Rob Halliday is they're working designers and programmers, so it's hard for you know, it's like, yes, this is my other hat I wear, and they would love to do it. You know, I mean, John McKernan is a Mac guy, and it you know, it was funny in the beginning when Lightbright was only available for PCs way back in the day. People were like, when's the Mac going to come out? And John's like, trust me, I would like to get it done for the Mac and things. So, right. You know, I'm sure they're working on it. It's going to be a little while probably, but I'm sure he would never say never. Right. But yeah, I did an article on iPhone apps when they first came out, and it was, you know, mostly DMX addressing and the basic things, mm-hmm. and just the explosion of how many have come out and things. It's just, it is really cool to see the developers, how easy it is for people to do ArtNet feedback things and to talk with ArtNet and to do other control things. It's very mm-hmm. cool. So,
and I think that some of those apps that are running over ArtNet, like the PRG LiveNet, I believe, I can't remember. Yeah. ArtNet Live or something. You know, some of these apps that are free out there are just immensely useful. Right. I've used them day in and day out to, you know, do checks, figure out what's wrong.
For the longest time, there was nothing out there that spit out ArtNet that was kind of affordable in the beginning. And like Campsys came out with theirs, and it was what would, you know, Campsys originally was going to be, we're going to be PC based. And then they kind of realized, well, we need to have a console as well. But they were giving away in the beginning, they're giving this away. And it was the way people are using it as ArtNet testers. And PRG's device for the iPhone, it was because for MBox, they needed to be able to go through and do MBox and Series 400 testing on ArtNet. They all have iPhones. It was like, we'll write an app for that. So it is amazing that the cleverness and technology of I have a challenge, and I wouldn't say open source, but there is pretty much an openness to really wanting to share that with a lot of people and say, hey, we have this solution. It'll work for you. You know, it's that kind of, you know, Miracle on 34th Street and Macy's. It's like, you can go find it here. You know, most people are pretty good that way and stuff and things. I may not have it, but I can tell you where to get it.
Right.
And when you see people on the floor, that's one thing I always ask people, what have you seen that really is exciting or that you saw that you think is like really hot? And poll people as you see them and stuff, your friends or new acquaintances. Hey, what did you see? It's a great icebreaker. And it's great to find out the things you should go see, because I've had people drag me to a booth that I missed and, hey, you got to come see this.
Right, right. That's happened way too many times.
You know, with the judging, we used to give the awards out on Sunday and we moved it back to Saturday. And the problem became was, when do we judge? Because it was all judged at the show. Unlike Plaza, which was pre-judged and pre-done with, you know, it at LDI, we had such a limited time and we would keep meeting through the show and we would have a point like early Saturday where, okay, what have we seen? Because we had to divide things up because of how big the floor is among the judges and among their specialties. We then would say, okay, here's the things you have to go back and see now. Come back so we can do this all, so we can all get this all done and give, you know, make the award ceremony at 6:00. Wow. So it is kind of cool that just, you know, use the resources of the people that are at the show. It's one thing that it's great about is, hey, what'd you see that's hot and cool? You know, you're going to get an answer. So,
well, that's partly why I've asked you to be on the podcast here. You know, the pre-show podcast or the LDI pre-show podcast, however you want to say it. I'm getting tongue-tied already.
Yep.
You know, what cool things, what exciting things have you heard of that are going to be announced at LDI that we've just got to stop and see?
Well, I think obviously LEDs are the big cool thing. I mean,
don't get me started on LEDs.
I know. And trust me, I've had so many people who, you know, promised the moon, because I've been working with LEDs since 96, mm-hmm. 98, so early days. And you know, they're getting better, and people's promises have gotten, you know, more in the rational world and things. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see another person who jams 90 in a par can, I'm like, okay, it's not groundbreaking, guys. It's been done.
Right.
But I think what's kind of cool is I would say is, well, Celador, I think is continues up the game. And I think with ETC is a good marriage there. I think that it helps them with the engineering and the technology, but they've got a really kind of cool product with the 7 colors, and they keep bringing it up and stepping it up. So I think there are some cool things there. I think that they've got this new Pearl fixture that's come out. I think it'd be pretty cool. But I think also Reveal. What's interesting is Reveal, and then there's a company that PRG is working with now, Gecko out of England, mm-hmm. and they have a new product called the Ohm Light. that is a it's replacement for a space light in for film and television. Mm-hmm. And it's now an LED unit that replaces a 5K space light. Oh. And so you've got a unit now that you don't need a Socketplex cable. You don't need a dimmer, you know, for it. And now with DMX, you can set the color temperature and you can balance your white color temperature. They're using kind of the same kind of idea Reveal's doing in a different form, but having feedback loops now for the temperature and for the color. And so over the life of the unit now, they're monitoring what these LEDs are doing. Mm-hmm. So now you're adjusting and getting your color, but as the unit ages over the, you know, 35,000 hours is what the L70 standard is the LEDs are going to change. And now if you've got this kind of feedback loop in there that can go through and adjust and really kind of correct and get proper white for television and then good color for theater and so you can go through, I think it's going to be the next big thing that we're going to see more people kind of grow into and things. Is these kind of monitoring and feedback of things in there.
Sure, sure.
You know, I think there's going to be, there's a lot of Me Too fixtures, I think, in LEDs. I think, yeah, I'm happy to see more of the moving head units that are starting to use them now. Mm-hmm. I think Martin's Mac 101 is kind of a cool one that I think is, I'm definitely going to go take a look at.
Yeah, that thing is fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of cool thing is just that I think a lot of people now have really, I think, started paying attention to the speed and quiet, you know, and really keeping that up out there and stuff. You know, I think GLP, their impressions continue mm-hmm. to keep, I'm really impressed, not to use a pun, but I really am. I really do like what they've done now and stuff. And they've got some units out. The Meisterstück will be out of the show, but they kind of keep building on that. And they're doing some interesting engineering and things. So
now you don't think this show is going to all be about LEDs, do you?
No, I don't think it'll all be about LEDs. Okay, I think the plasma lamps are another very fascinating technology that I've been watching for a long time.
Well, there's
originally, I'm sorry.
There's only two companies that are using it right now, though.
Currently, yes. But I think that probably will change. But I think that, you know, Robey has got a new unit coming out, the MMX spot. And I'm not sure if there's a new unit from SeaChanger using plasma.
No.
I know they're promoting and they've got some plasma units there and things and stuff. But yeah. That lamp, you know, I saw it originally used for projection and then for projectors and for the architectural side of things. And I think it's kind of a clever marriage. And it'd be interesting to see if other manufacturers start to embrace that because I think it's a good source.
I'm surprised we haven't seen Source 4 or something like that yet with a plasma light source.
Right, right.
Granted, there's the Nemo from SeaChanger that is essentially a Source 4, but not that's color mixing.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know from ETC. I wouldn't put it past them that they're not working on something like that. Because they are very they play it very close to the chest.
Of course.
You know, I got to ETC 92 and that was the year Source 4 sensor and obsession came out.
Wow.
So it was funny because when we got to the show, no one knew about Source 4 at the time. And we all thought it was going to be a niche fixture. It was going to take over the industry and things and stuff. But, you know, it was all developed outside of house. You know, I'd say 3/4 of the people at ETC did not know about that fixture and things. So
Before it was announced.
Yeah. Oh, so quiet and things. And we got to LDI and we walked in and we were at the back of the hall and Strand was up front with a brand new ellipsoidal and our hearts sank. And we started doing demos and it was like, wow, it's time to take a break. And only to realize it was the end of day one. We hadn't stopped.
Oh man.
And we were slammed because I think the obsession got a lot of people and the sensor, but man, the Source 4, people saw it and we started doing shootouts and, you know, we carried those things around the country because at the time it only had one lamp from Sylvania. So, but yeah, who knew? So
what are they at 5 million already? Yeah.
I don't know. It's 5. I knew they passed 2, but you know,
I thought I heard 4 recently.
I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't. I don't know where they're going, but you know, there's some technology you never quite know where, but everywhere you look now, you see them in TV shots and commercials and things. So,
oh yeah, they're all over the place.
I think LED video is going to be big at the show this year. I think the video products are getting better and better. I think the resolutions are really, you know, coming up in the world.
Okay.
And I think those panels and now seeing flexible ones we've had the ones that you've had you can shoot light through as a scrim, so you've got the ones that have these air gaps. Mm-hmm. Now I think having them flexible and so you don't have to build rectangular screens and things, I think that you know, that's gonna be a pretty cool thing to kind of keep an eye on.
That's the pixel
Pixled has got one. Yeah, they've got some products out. There's a couple different people. You know, I know somebody, I forget who now, has got balls, has balls on a string. You know, Pixled's had one like that for a while, but I think people are playing catch up and are copying and stuff. But yeah, it's, there's a lot of development there that's coming along.
Right.
It's cool to see, because now it really is mixing, lighting and projection or visual design is really coming more and more together. I think we're seeing that marriage happening more and more.
So what other, you know, what other technologies out there, what other products do you think are going to take LDI by storm?
Take them by storm. I'm not sure what else.
Well, last year was the auto corrector.
RFC LightLock.
Correct, right? LightLock. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, that was fascinating. And that was something that, you know, it was funny. I saw it on Saturday, was trying to figure it out in my head, and had to, it was one of those things where I made a note, which is another good tip. Always keep a notebook and a pad and a pen in your pocket, because you're going to want to write things down and be like, I got to go back and see this.
Right.
But what if we're currently, I don't know. You know, I'm sure that somebody's got something else that they're going to spring on us that will be like, wow. You know.
Okay.
It's stuff that you don't expect and things and stuff. You know, you're not sure what you're seeing. You got to go back and really get the in things. But, you know, stop and ask and say, okay, how do you do that?
Right.
Because it was funny. We're watching this thing, and it was funny because they were testing. They were turning it off and on. Okay, watching the rig swing. Okay, I understand the rig swinging. Now they turn it on, and the rig's not. So I'm like, okay, what are they doing here? There are those things that you see that really take you by surprise. So there may be more motion control things out there. There may be more people doing rigging, trussing things. You know.
Okay. Well, one thing that you mentioned earlier about you know, LDI and obviously trade shows is getting around and just meeting new people. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned this before, you know, events like this, trade shows, conferences, expos, whatever the heck you want to call them, you know, this is a great, great opportunity to just get out there and meet your peers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I meet a lot of people through Twitter, and it's amazing some of the things that people have actually done. You know, on design wise, product development and stuff like that. What are some good ways to just get out there and meet people besides going up to somebody and saying, hey, I'm Michael Eddy?
Well, that's the best way. Stick your hand up and introduce yourself. But you know, if there's a conversation going on, you know, listen in, and maybe when there's a break, just say, hey, I've had that situation. And then, you know, graciously introduce yourself. Try not to step on people when they're, you know, they're talking to each other. You know, don't bust up in a conversation or something. Because it is an old home week. It is that, because a lot of people, you know, the other good thing too is at end of sessions is, you know, stay and ask a question. And when you're talking to them, you know, introduce yourself, things, you know, because there's a lot of people in those panels that are working professionals in the industry. And it's a great way to hear somebody you may be a fan of or somebody you've never heard of, but you knew the product. Here's a way to go up, listen, and at the end say, this is fascinating, and just introduce yourself. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is you got to be brave. I mean, this is how people get assistants and associates. You know, mm-hmm. it's a small industry, and people, you know, it's a very friendly industry. So I don't think it's unlike any other industry I've ever dealt with, you know. So you can always walk up and say hello, but I think that sessions are a great one.
Well, that, don't forget about, you know, obviously in recent years, tweet ups, meetups, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. you know, gatherings like this, industry parties, you know, like the four wall party, I believe that is open to everybody. Don't hold me to that. I don't have the information in front of me, but, you know, going to the tweet up that's on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I know there's a ton of other events, Esta has the new Gen Esta, well, 2 years old at least, the Gen Esta meetings,
right?
Where they go out and explore the town. You know, they get away from the trade show, they get away from the industry, but go out and just see the town and have a good time and talk with your peers.
Right. Also, then there's Saturday night, which is kind of the same time as the tweet up, but is the LDI Awards and cocktail party. And that's a great way to meet people, because there's going to be a lot of people over there getting product awards, but also the individual awards. But that's a great place, too, where there's a lot of people waiting around to mm-hmm. hear things. And as that goes on, it's a great place to introduce yourself and things.
So the LDI Awards are open to the public, so to say?
Absolutely. They're open to everybody.
There we go.
It's kind of a misconstrued thing, but yeah, absolutely. It's at 5 o'clock they begin and have a cocktail party. So it's something where you can go over and they announce the awards. They announce the ESTA awards, which they kind of re-announce because they do that at the ESTA dinner. But it's a great to recap. And now they've got the green awards. But there's a lot of people that stand around that stage and stuff. And it's like, I've met people just standing there. I turn to the person next to me and read their badge and be like, oh, hey, we've talked on the phone. Or because there's a lot of people you've talked to or emailed and Twittered and you've mm-hmm. never met in person. This is a great way, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And the better the name, the nicer they are. I mean, you know, and a lot of them are great with students. You know, a lot of them are you know, Ken Billington, Richard Pilbrow, those guys, if you see their badge, you know, introduce yourself. And that's the great thing is reading the badge and figuring who it is and some of things, because sometimes you see the face, you may not remember the name.
Right.
Some of us who've been around the industry a while have to read the badges. one dealer had a while ago had a badge that they were giving out and it says, don't worry, I don't remember your name either. But, you know, I think when you go into a booth, you know, it's like you know, talking to the people there, you know, it's like, hi, you may know somebody there, you may not, but just go in and say, hi, I'm, you know, ask to get a demo and talk to the person there. And that person could maybe introduce you to somebody else at the company. Mm-hmm. It may be someplace you want to work or intern. You know, the other thing is the portfolio review that they run now on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to go. You know, those roundtable situations, we, you know, also the technology breakfast too. That's a great one. I just remember that one is that they run those Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings. And the Friday one is lighting and Saturday is staging, rigging, and audio. And then Sunday is special effects. But it's great because it's a free breakfast and you get to go and hear in the 2 hours for the lighting breakfast. I think they go through probably 20 to 30 manufacturers. Everybody gets 5-10 minutes. But here's a way to see, you know, people then at the show now, they're at the show, they're willing to tell you, we're introducing this. Mm-hmm. And you get a quick taste. And the great thing is that while you're there, there are at the lighting breakfast, generally we used to draw, I'd say 300-400 people. There are 400 people you probably have never met. And so there's another great place to introduce people. People are having coffee in a Danish, go over and say, hey, I like your work, or I've read about you in the magazine, or I've seen this. It's a great place to do it.
Fantastic.
You know? So yeah, I think the breakfasts are one, it's kind of an undiscovered gem and it's a great way to get, and it's funny because you'll see consultants, you'll see students, you'll see teachers, you see a whole range of people there, programmers, they want to find out what's going to happen at the show and be the first thing that's there. So absolutely.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, somebody may see something that everybody else or somebody else missed and great little tips. Well,
and a lot of the smaller guys come to that. It's not just the big guys that come to the breakfast. So you'll find out. I've discovered a new strobe company there. I discovered some different widgets that Lex was coming out with. You know, different companies go there and because it's free for them to come, and it's a great way. And it's funny because a lot of people were like, oh, I don't want to do it. It's a short PowerPoint. Some are funny, some are serious. But what's kind of cool is you get a really quick thing to make a list and say, oh, I got to go see that mm-hmm. and make a note of the booth and things.
Yeah.
You know, the directory, and now with this iPhone app that they've got, you know, look through the free events, look through the different sessions that you can go to. You know, it may be costly, but, you know, there are day passes. Mm-hmm. It is good to do the sessions because I think you'll find out, you'll see some really interesting things, you'll learn a lot. There's a lot of free sessions too and things. So I think that, you know, what EST is doing, I think this portfolio review, it's kind of cool because you'll get a lot of feedback from different designers and different people in the industry in one kind of contained place. So.
Yeah. Right. So basically the show is all about product, learning, networking. What else are we missing?
And drinking, very little sleep. You know, somebody said sleep is for the weak, but you do have to pace yourself. And since it's the Vegas in the desert, hydrate.
Yep.
It is fascinating because I think that, you know, it's a cool thing too, that I've had this tip and I've used it a number of times is if you're going to go to dinner, go find like 5 or 6 people. You know, it depends on how big you want to do it, mm-hmm. but find some people maybe you don't know and invite some people and put a group together that is mixed up of different people from different industries, or, you know, maybe somebody new, and you get these great conversations that go on and things. So it's something that, you know, don't just go in a pack, don't go with your friends, or if you're with a manufacturer, don't go with, you know, those. I think the people that go and they stay in their own little world don't learn a lot. The people that go and like end up going out to a different place, or you run into somebody at the bar, you know.
Oh yeah. Too many times I've been at a bar and having a drink and, oh, somebody's got an LDI badge or a trade show badge. Oh, hey, you know, I'm Justin. Hey, I'm blah, blah, you know, get to talking. And again, they find something or they have a good bit of information.
Yeah. And the great icebreaker again at the bar says, hey, what did you see at the show today that I might have missed? Or what really excited you at the show? Because that's a great way to get into it. And the show doesn't end at the end of the day. I mean, there's dinners. There are parties, there are the going out and socializing, because it is a very social industry. Mm-hmm. And I think that you need to take advantage of those. If there's a cocktail party going on in a booth, you know, it might be open, it might be closed, but if it's in a booth, it's generally open, stop by, say hello.
Oh yeah. There's
different things that they do. That's another great thing. You know, they do the breaks. I don't know which ones are doing this year, but they have like the Disney ice cream break. That's a thing where, you know, Sylvania did it last year. All of a sudden, you know, at like 2:30 on Saturday, everybody climbs up at this booth waiting for the ice cream. Look at the badges next to you and stuff and things. And you know, then again, you can ask what they saw, what's cool, what's new. And you, what did you see is a great icebreaker that I always go back to and stuff and things, because it's a great one. Just it, you know, you run into the elevator, you run in from the show floor. It's a great one. You know, at the hotel, you know, you're going to be at a show hotel. Take advantage of that lobby restaurant, bar. Mm-hmm. People forget to take their badges off. It's a great one. As we called it, mug me badge, you know. But yeah, you know, you're going to see people around and you're going to recognize them for the show. You know, there's a lot of people there. So I think it's a great way to take advantage of that time. I've met people on the bus in from, you know, the airport to the hotel. You know, if you're coming in at a high time, you're going to be on those kind of things. I've been on flights with people. It's very funny. So share a cab. You never know, you know. So
you meet the best friends some way like that.
Absolutely do. And, you know, I've met people there, and it's a great old home week again to go back to visit with people. But it's something where, you know, a lot of the programmers and technicians and even designers, you're working on a show by yourself. You're not there with other lighting designers, programmers. So when you get to LDI, here are your peers. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have a wide range of people, and this is a chance to catch up and see what they've been working on.
No, that's great advice.
You know, and if you're at LDI, you are a peer. So, you know, it's something, you know, you belong there. So, you know, it's your industry too. And I don't care if you're a student or if you've been in it for years. And I think it's a great leveler. And I think, you know, there are people who are intimidated. There are people that they're new to the industry. And I was new to the industry at first too. And I had a lot of mentors who were older who said, you know, what are you waiting for? Go talk to the person and stuff. I remember, you know, meeting Jules Fisher or Richard Pilbara the first time. I was tongue tied, but it was just like, and they make it easy. You know, they may be your mentor, or your idol. Don't worry about it. You know, go up and say to them, you know, hey, if you got their book, get them to autograph it for you. So
you've also got to remember, while we're like Jules Fisher, Rich Probaugh, you know, these are big names in our industry. They're also human beings.
Right.
You know, they're not celebrities like you would think, like the movies.
Right.
You know, they're pretty approachable. I've met both those guys and they're super nice.
I can think of very few people, if any, that are so snobby that they wouldn't want to talk to you or say hello to you and things. So, you know, and the thing is that I've learned from so many people in the industry, and I've had so many mentors over the years. And so I have people, you know, Sonny Sonnenfeld. There are a lot of guys that people go, oh, they're old and they don't know anything. Trust me, these guys have forgotten more than you'll ever learn. Mm-hmm. And they know more. And most of them are up on the thing and they share. They're up on the technology and they know what's going on. And so you talk to them and say, hey, you know, what have you been up to? What are you working on? Or what do you, you know, read about? So anything is an icebreaker is great. You know, just, I think the biggest one though, again, is what did you see that's cool? What did you see today? It's always a great one. And the end of sessions is always a good one and stuff. Listen to other people's questions and come up and you say, I had the same situation, or that's fascinating. And it's a way to, you know, do it. And you'll learn a lot. You learn a lot at the show. Great. So,
well, we're going to start wrapping it up here real quick. Last year was lasers.
Okay.
I hope to God it's not LEDs this year.
Yeah, they tend to go. I was talking to the other day who was going, who knew lasers made this big company and something? So maybe it's pyro and confetti this year. I don't know.
All right. So, I'll hold you to that.
Yeah, hold you to that and some things. So all right. It's like when you walk by all the file spot booths, just make sure to avert your eyes. Retinal tanning going on here.
Yeah, you don't want to go blind.
But just, you know, yes, stop at the big guys, but also stop at the middle and the low end guys and stuff and things. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's going to be some great sessions to see this year. I think that, you know, Bruce Rodgers and the team from the Super Bowl are talking about what they did on the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. I think also there's a fascinating one in the green. The green sessions they're doing are kind of cool too. They're doing one this year comparing TV studios, and Bruce Ferry and Mark London is doing one, you know, talking about comparing traditional lighting to now lighting with LEDs and more efficient sources. Because I think we have to get more efficient in the industry and things and stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know, I was talking to Bruce Rodgers the other day on Jay-Z and Eminem, and we were talking about LDI, and he said, you know, last year I discovered that there is the wrong kind of snow. There's all these different snows out there. He's like, who knew that there are different snows? But he needed something for a tour, and he found it at the show. So you never know. You're walking around, and you usually go with a shopping list, and you're looking for something, but there's things you never know you're looking for that you're going to find out about.
Fantastic. Well, Michael, I want to say thank you for joining me here on this, the iSquint podcast. You know, a lot of great information, a lot of good history about the show, too.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm happy to do it. And I hope that you guys, you know, if you see me on the show floor, definitely come up and introduce yourself and say hello. It's a great show. You're going to have a fantastic time. It's your first show. You know, it's a wild ride. If it's your 15th or 20th show, you know, you're going to learn something new. So,
of course. Well, where are you going to be hiding during the show?
Where am I going to be hiding? I'll be all over the floor, I'm sure. But, right. You know, I'm going to be a lot up in the PRG demonstration room. I'm actually up. It's on the same floor. N113 is okay. Probably home base for me. But I think that there's a lot to see at the show.
All right.
Live design booth. I'll be around there at the booth. So
fantastic.
I'll definitely make the tweet up.
Excellent. That's Saturday, 5:30, 6 o'clock, I think, right?
Yep.
The Sea Changer booth.
Sea Changer booth, yeah. I've met a lot of people on Twitter this year, so social media is growing quite a bit. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how that integrates with our industry and things.
Yeah.
But you learn a lot, and I've met a lot of people from all different walks of life and different levels of experience. So it's been quite fascinating.
Yeah, trust me, I know. It blows me away, some of the things that people do and come up with. So, all right, Michael, thank you once again. Michael Eddy from Eddy Marketing and Consulting. You can find him on Twitter at MSEDDY2900. Say it again for me.
MSEDDY2900.
All right. Great. Thanks again, Michael. And we'll see you in about a week, right?
Thanks. See you there.
All righty. So there you go. Lots of great information. Lots of good stuff to get ready for at LDI coming up later this week. If you're going to LDI, safe travels, and we'll see you there. If you see me on the show floor, you won't be able to miss me. Stop me, talk to me. You know, I love talking to people. Let's see what's going on at the show. I love sharing information. There's all kinds of sessions and all kinds of tweet-ups, meetups, whatever you want to call them, to see and meet people. So enjoy your time in Las Vegas, and see you there. Thanks for joining me here on the iSquint podcast.